T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. All three of us back on the show today. We'll get to our weekend movie nominations coming up in about 15 minutes. See what theme we go with. Maybe tie it into a $500 million contract that was handed out to Patrick Mahomes.
So he's going to watch episodes of Breaking Bad where Huel lies on pallets full of money. How much money did they estimate that was? Like, think about that pile of money and then understand that Patrick Mahomes is probably going to get three piles of that amount of money.
I did see someone tweet there.
Right? What was the estimate there? Probably 50, 60?
Yeah.
No, it's more than that. It's probably like $100 million in that show?
Yeah. I know someone was trying to, you know, was looking at the photo that came out when the Chiefs announced the deal, and it was Brett Veach socially distanced from Mahomes, and they're like,
why wouldn't you just put a big pile of money?
Put a big pile of money, and someone did the math on like just the weight and for the amount of money. It was
$80 million is the report there.
It was something crazy, like 50,000 pounds or something is what it would have weighed to have like that cash actually there.
$80 million is what it's estimated in that scene. For those who've seen Breaking Bad, $80 million is what they're saying is in that one storage unit. Now think about that pile of money and have six more piles of that money. And that's how much money Patrick Mahomes got yesterday.
Oh my goodness. Just crazy. Woo! With that, it brings plenty of...
Still gave it to the Chiefs a discount.
With that, it brings plenty of expectations, right? Being plenty of expectations. And what do you do if you're a Chiefs fan and it's just one ring over the next 12 years, for example? Right? You got one Super Bowl already. But when you sign a $500 million deal and it's 10 years, but ultimately it's entire, you know, in a whole, it's 12. I think you have to be very disappointed if there's only one more that comes, which is nuts because you waited 50 years for the first one as far as since the last one.
Sure.
Right. But if you
without
tell
even
me
really
10,
getting very close, any of the other
I mean,
times.
If you tell me 10 years from now, we're sitting here and Mahomes only has two rings. I'm like, oh, I mean, that's
Are we
where we're at.
Two rings
where,
now?
That's where we're at. Like,
does the money add that for you?
I think so. Like, as far as disappointment and based off of what the deal is, and also based off of how talented of a player that we know Patrick Mahomes is, and after the comments from Andy Reid yesterday, which essentially was like, I'm not thinking about retiring anytime soon. If you're telling me that Andy Reid and Mahomes are together for at least another 5+ years, and then ultimately it's year 10, and they only have one more ring, yeah. Absolutely, I'm going to be disappointed. You could say it's selfish, but yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's a $500 million deal. The best quarterback in the league, one of the best coaches in the league. Yeah, which is why this year and next year, the two, I mean, if you talk about trying to stack together and ultimately have five of these in your career, or six of these in your career, these next 2 years, I feel you got to have at least one in the next 2 years again. At least one.
Yeah, I think this year is actually really vital because I've already told you, I think some of your competition is in a better position than you, not at the quarterback position. Obviously, you will always have the advantage there. But just some of the other teams are in a better position than you as far as cap space and flexibility and all the things that kind of come with, you know, making it easier to have a team. And you'll have a quarterback on a rookie deal, which again helps, right? The Chiefs won't have that advantage like they had this upcoming season where they were able to essentially push their cap forward. But it's still, I mean, you're talking about two rings. I mean, that.
But that has to be the thought process going
forward,
right?
But the money doesn't change it for me. I had those expectations the second they, like, we had that conversation a day after they won the Super Bowl. How many? 2 days, whatever. How many? And I do think that that's a reasonable conversation to have. Does he need to be, you know, Bradshaw or Montana or Aikman in those wins, right? How do you get yourself to 3-4? I've told you how few people have 2, right? It's that number. The number of the contract doesn't do anything because he was going to get that. Like, if you went year to year with Patrick Mahomes, he was going to get every cent of that $500 million, even if he stopped winning Super Bowls now. I think my expectations for him, like, and there will be people who attach money to success, and there'll be some people who tell you that 2 over the next 12 years isn't enough, and I'll be like,
3 total rings.
That's 3 Super Bowls. And I know that that doesn't sound like enough now because
I think it's just
here's the thing. There's no comparison. We're stuck in a situation where we're trying to say how many rings a person can have when nobody has ever. We're done saying he's the first guy since blank to do whatever. He's the only guy to do this. We're done having conversations about comparing his numbers to Marino because he won a ring and Marino didn't. Even if the numbers are the same. We're done. I don't think you can fairly compare it to Aaron Rodgers because I think he's been more talented in the early part of his career. Rodgers won his later. And Rodgers still, by the way, at 31, was still out here throwing, you know, 40 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. Not quite that, but, you know, rounding up in his favor. So it's not, you can't even, there's no longer comparison. So when we start attaching numbers to it, to rings, the only person you want to start going to is because the only person you can compare now ring-wise is Brady. Because you feel like that's the only person who even matters. Because it feels like for most people, he's just going to blow past 2 and 3, doesn't it? I think a lot of people feel
so.
That way.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's
so.
It's hard to imagine so, that, but well, I think a lot of people think he's just going to blow past that number.
Well, yeah, I mean, as people point out on the text line right now, some people thought it was going to be multiple rings with Rodgers. That's not even the discussion that I'm looking. You're correct. Yeah, we thought like it's Rodgers and Drew Brees are the two examples of how people are going to view it as failure. Sean Payton.
If he doesn't get another one in 12,
but even yeah,
something's
like,
gone
like
wrong.
Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they've been together for so long. They have the one ring. We know Aaron Rodgers has the one ring. Yeah. It's one thing to say you think he's going to get 4, 5, or 6 rings or something like, or something crazy in Ty Brady at 6 or whatever. But I'm just saying that with where you're at because of the pure talent. Yeah.
So you're saying Brady's not going to win another one. How dare you?
Not happening. Now he's done.
He's got somebody else in the way now.
He does.
The Bucks are going to challenge this year.
I mean, here's the guys. Like, just again, as a reminder, like let's skip on the conversation about the guys who just have 2. Would you like to know the guys who have appeared in who have won more than 2 Super Bowls? They are Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady. 4 people have won more than 2. 4. So like just to get like if he gets 2 in the next 12, this has been a massive success. I don't know how to break it to anybody. Like I know you're saying it's $500 million and he's the most talented quarterback any of us have ever seen. Totally agree. All those things are factually correct. But I'm going to have a hard time in the historical perspective of quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm going to have a hard time coming down and being like, what's he got? 3 Super Bowl rings in the last 15 years? No, I'll just be hoping that the twilight year tacks on another.
The question is, are you disappointment, though?
I can't personally be disappointed with 2 Super Bowl
rings. I just think
rings.
If a lot of Chiefs fans are going to, because of the talent that he is,
Aikman,
and
Montana,
that you know he's
Bradshaw,
yours.
Brady. I mean, that's it.
And you know he's yours for at least the next 12 years. He's your quarterback in Kansas City. Yeah, I think in maybe hindsight, 20 years
from
now,
12
Cody,
quarterbacks who have ever appeared in 3 or more Super Bowls.
Nobody said it's easy. No, nobody said it's going to be easy.
No, but
it's not likely.
I'm not even with you. Like I'm saying all these things. I think he's going to win multiple Super Bowls over the course of this 12-year run. I just don't think that that's a fair. Like 2 is good.
You just can't compare him to anybody else. You're right. You said you can't compare him to anybody else, which is why even when you bring that up, like how rare it is. Yeah, but that there should be no. That's not. That shouldn't be viewed as an obstacle for him.
No,
because it's just it's truly different. We might, and if he gets, let's say he wins 2 more rings and he has 3 in his career, and we look and it's 30 years from now, he's retired and all that. Yeah, we're gonna say, oh my goodness,
he's gonna be one of the greatest quarterbacks.
3 rings.
The
organization has 4 total Super Bowls at that point in time. We're gonna
he wins a 5. He won 3.
Sure. Okay.
5 Super Bowl appearances would tie him for the second most Super Bowl appearances of all time with John Elway, by the way.
Nuts. But if you are at right now in the moment and knowing what's already been accomplished and the feeling for most Chiefs fans is, well, he should already have 2 right now, right? Oh, yeah. That's the other part of it. It's like the feeling they should have been back to back. We should be talking about a 3-peat this year. That adds to it as well. Like that's what's tough. Yeah, of course there's no guarantees. Yeah. No. We could be talking 10 years from now and Mahomes hasn't even been to another Super Bowl. Like if you want to go worst case scenario, I would never bet that's the case. But man, I just think if you start looking at what he's already accomplished, and so it is hard to not view 10 years from now just one more ring or whatever as a really disappointment, man. And then he gets to two or three. Like I think people aren't thinking three. I think people are expecting
such exclusive company.
I think people are expecting over the next 12 years, as crazy as it sounds, 3 more rings.
Be one of 12 dudes with one more ring. But he's one of 12. That's it. That's it. He'd be one of 12. Now maybe one of 13 by there, because I kind of think Russell Wilson's going to sneak one in somewhere along the way. But that's, you know, the reason why we set our sights on Brady is not because any team with a great young quarterback would do that similar thing. It's because it's the first guy to come around who actually thinks like that's plausible. I wouldn't have told you anybody was touching Tom Brady's Super Bowl appearance or record number, had any chance at doing it. Anytime since Brady has really started to kind of separate himself in that number until Patrick Mahomes existed. Because nobody else has shown what he has shown. And that's not even saying a comparison. Again, there is no direct comparison. I think it was Jason McIntyre in his show this morning who was saying the best comparison for Mahomes is Steph Curry. Underrated coming into the draft, fell out of the top 10, came from a less successful college program than most, and then wasn't expected to, and then unsettled a dynasty in the middle of a dynasty, because that would be the Patriots. Although I would say Steph Curry really took LeBron at peak age LeBron versus, with a great team, but it's different with football. But there is no, like, if we're trying to make a football comparison, like the Marino stats are still really similar, right? Their first 2 years is like, man, he's doing what Marino did in their first 2 years. Yeah, but one guy has a Super Bowl and an MVP. Like, I mean, it's just, and a Super Bowl MVP. The comparisons are no longer apt. We don't need to say, hey, he needs to be one of these guys. The only thing remaining is, in what company does he keep himself? And I'm telling you, with one more Super Bowl win, he's one of 12. With two more Super Bowl wins, he's one of 5 with multiple. Like, it is a tiny, tiny list of people on this earth who have than 2 Super Bowl wins.
No, you're. I mean, everything you're saying is 100% correct.
Which is why two is good.
Everything you're saying is correct.
But I felt this way before the contract. I really did. I don't feel I have more. I don't feel more. I don't know if he does.
Yeah.
But I don't personally put more pressure on it because of the deal. I think I'd feel differently if he were like Goff. He signed $150 million deal. I'd be like, all right, what equates to success during this time? I'm not worried about it with Mahomes. Because I don't think the money's going to have any impact on how many rings he stacks up. I think he's going to get a couple more.
Yeah, it's fan expectation. Just knowing as Chiefs fans, and if you go out to Arrowhead and you're going to watch Mahomes for the next 12 years, and you're looking at it, you just know what you're thinking. Like, you're thinking big picture. You're right, in the historical context, you're going to be absolutely correct. If he ends up with just 2 rings, even right in the context and the company that puts him in, for sure, 100%, that is accurate. But knowing the type of talent that he is, and also I think with Andy Reid and what seems to be a perfect system that's set up here with Brett Veach and Reid and Mahomes and where the organization is at, and we'll see certainly who are the next crop of quarterbacks, and so much is going to be dictated on things going your way. Is Lamar Jackson still this type of player 5 years from now? And who's the next guy? Is Trevor Lawrence the next great quarterback in the NFL a year from now? Like, so much is going to be dictated by certainly the upcoming 4 or 5 years, really, of next quarterbacks to come into the league as well.
How serious a competition is Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson for the crown in a given year? Because even Brady what happened with Brady was eventually his real competition got out of their quarterback winning window, and he's never stopped for whatever reason. And then there was no other crop to threaten him. A lot of times what happens, the young crop comes up and gets you. And the AFC didn't have those guys until Mahomes showed up. Watson showed up. Lamar Jackson showed up. He had like a 5-6 year window when Roethlisberger was past the I compete for Super Bowls every year prime, and there was nobody else to really give to push him. All the other teams are like, hey, look, it's a one good year situation, right? That was it. That's how the Patriots were able to do that. Patrick Mahomes' competition will dictate some of his ability to do it, because even in those other runs, right, those quarterbacks I talked about who had won those, like John Elway's 5 Super Bowl appearances and 2 wins, they didn't come over one stretch. He had to grind. He had one big run where they were going and losing a lot, and then he got two at the tail end. Like, Brady's has been a pretty sustained run. Montana's were all in a stretch. Bradshaw's all in a stretch. You know, like, it just depends on how this thing. Troy Aikman's all in a stretch. The people, just so you know, like you said, the next 2 years are important. The people who win, like, two or more, like, three or more Super Bowls, they do them in runs. Aikman, Montana, Bradshaw, and even if you want to toss in Brady, they do them in, like, sprints.
It makes them look at
the then they get more sprints, man. You got to assume the Chiefs, if they're getting four Super Bowl rings over the next 12 years of Patrick Mahomes, two or three are coming in the next 5 years.
Correct. Let me just look at the roster, right? Look where their position with the cap and things going forward. No question. I mean, the counter is Jim Kelly, right? They go, they four straight Super Bowls, and we all, you know, look what he has to show.
Well, it was
it.
A run, though. Like, they still win on that run. He just,
but that's why, just like, even just getting, you know, just getting there is one thing, and obviously winning it is a whole nother, but certainly just a fun conversation to have, one that you can have in Kansas City for the next 12 years to look at. Now that Mahomes is locked up for at least that point in time. All right, let's get to some weekend movie nominations. We do these on Wednesday. We'll put up a poll at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. And on Friday, we'll find out what we're watching for the weekend. So with all this talk about $500 million, $503 million to be exact, with Patrick Mahomes, he said, okay, what's some movies? Some money movies. How about some heist movies heading into the weekend? So that's the category here this weekend. Where are you headed when it comes to a heist movie? We're talking plenty of money this week.
Oh, God, there were so many choices. Because I kind of wanted to, and I don't know if we're going to let Pete get in on this week or if Surtur's just going to do a bonus, but I was trying to think of, like, you know, like when they steal a lot of money, and obviously Patrick Mahomes not stealing anything. If anything, the Chiefs are getting kind of a deal in his. I went with Baby Driver. It's a recent example of one I really enjoyed. There are lots of really good heist movie. I think Surtur has been like a whole heist movie kick lately.
Been watching,
including watching all the Fast and the Furious movies.
I'm always on a heist movie kick.
I just finished part four of Money Heist, which is on Netflix right now. It's fantastic. And it's all about robbing like the National Bank of Spain and all. That's fantastic.
So
I almost went with that one. I did not go with that one.
Money on the mind. I went with Baby Driver.
Okay. I went with a classic, but it's not the classic one, if that makes sense. It's the modern version of Ocean's 11. That's where I went. That can be on TV, man. It doesn't matter where it's out soon. Oh, yeah, I'll watch for another half hour. Like, that's one of those where it's on TV. I'm watching it. Let's watch it. Like, especially if it's the right part of the movie where the heist is actually about to happen. Absolutely going to watch it.
It is a really Tony executed Benedict. Plan, if you know, once you track down every part that they accomplish in it. It's a good cast, too.
Very good cast. Very good.
Yeah, Ocean's 11's a good movie. It's a Steven Soderbergh movie. But I do question whether or not, is it really a great movie, or are we just in love with how good the cast is in that movie?
I think it's a pretty good movie. It's an easy watch, too, and it's
I think it's that. I think it's like, to me, it's like the National Treasure movies. When we just talked about like stuff that's just like mindlessly good times. Mm-hmm. I feel like that version of Ocean's 11 is that, Surtur. It's remember we did background movies? It's almost like that. Like, I don't have to be heavily invested in watching it anymore. If it's just on in the background, I have zero objection.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of like that.
So I almost picked Logan Lucky, which is a very good movie, but it's also a Steven Soderbergh movie, and it's kind of like Ocean's 11, but in West Virginia instead of Vegas. And it's a really good, underrated movie, but I didn't pick that. And as you mentioned, I watch a ton of heist movies. So every heist movie I thought of, I've seen fairly recently because I just watch heist movies regularly. So I picked this one, which was a really good movie, Widows.
I haven't seen that.
And Widows?
It's kind of a more unique heist movie, and it's a fairly recent movie. I just haven't seen it since I saw it in theaters, and I want to watch it, so that's why I picked it.
Directed by Steve McQueen, British-American heist thriller.
Steve McQueen, like the old action star from the 60s and 70s?
Doubtful.
That's Steve McQueen?
Doubtful.
Didn't that guy die?
Police shootout leaves four thieves dead
different
during
Steve
an
McQueen.
Explosive
Say,
armed
different Steve
robbery attempt in
Well,
Chicago.
That's a pretty famous name, yeah. Steve McQueen. I was like, that he died way before 2018.
Some of his memorabilia is worth quite a bit of money, actually.
It's a very good movie. I saw it in theaters when it came out, but I haven't seen it since.
Gillian
I really want
Flynn
to rewatch
screenplay,
it, so.
Huh? It's like Winter's Bone and some of those. I've seen some of those.
It's a good movie.
Okay, so that's your nominee there. The text line is saying, what
I like
about
the cast. I'm interested in that.
I texted Pete to see if he had a pick because I forgot to ask him. So if he doesn't get back to me in the next few minutes, then I'm picking the bonus movie.
Okay. Okay. The text line said, what about Italian Job? Someone's saying Ocean's 11 has to be on top.
Italian Job doesn't hold up. I've rewatched it. It's not nearly as good as you remember it being.
It's been a while since I've watched that. The Bank Job, though, right? Now, you've told me those aren't even like those aren't even the same. Like,
yeah, The Bank Job's a different movie.
But The Bank Job, the Bank has similar cast.
Yes. Well, like, it's just Jason Statham.
Yeah, which that's the main. That's the lead. It's the lead. I mean,
that's Jason Statham's just the main actor in both.
Yeah,
movies.
And they both end in Job, like very, very similar. Okay. What's the pick?
That doesn't feel like.
Pete Sweeney texted me back. He said The Town, which is a very good heist movie. I considered that too. I've watched The Town recently.
Gotta be honest, Town, a little overrated.
I just watched. I really like The Town. I just watched The Bank Job. I think last Friday.
Pete's got a good chance to win. I think either yours or Pete's is going to win.
Probably.
Widows no chance.
Have you guys seen Blank Check? That was on the text line as well. Kids movie. It's fantastic.
Just to be clear,
I'm
going to
watch Widows
school.
Either way. So.
Blank Check is great.
I skipped school in the third grade with my mom on my birthday to watch Blank Check in theaters. So yes, text line.
Blank Check is
one
of
the. I am very familiar with
Blank
Check.
Remember the scene they're at the bank and the guy's like, juice? You don't remember that?
Why are you specifically reaching that one line? I remember it. I don't know why we're referencing that.
Because that's
one
when he's meeting with the banker and they're trying to find out if he's the guy they should be
also,
giving the money to.
No
and he's
way
like, juice.
That a million. There's a couple of problems. If we're breaking down some like flaws in the plot of this movie, one, there's no way $1 million is buying all the stuff he bought him. Like he built an old like go-kart.
He bought a mansion. It was amazing.
He rented the mansion, I think, but then he also like built a go-kart track in his entire backyard. $1 million in buying that. And no matter how much pressure that kid gives the bank, there is no way they're letting a kid walk out with $1 million in cash in a backpack, even in the 90s when we pretty much got to run free. God, it kind of made me feel like maybe I should have chosen Blank Check.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to watch Blank Check tonight, maybe.
Is it too late, Serta? You already sent it out? Maybe I can make a Blank Check.
Now we're Catch Me If You Can. Someone's a dentist.
Did you already send out the tweet, Serta? I'd like to change mine to Blank Check.
I'm putting it out now.
Change mine to Blank Check.
Oh, that might be a winner.
It's not going to win.
I don't care that it wins.
You're just tanking.
Blank Check's a very enjoyable movie.
I mean, it's going to be The Town. Mine wasn't going to win anyway. Give me Blank Check.
Yeah, there's some good selections. So our theme weekend movie nominations are heist movies.
Mine is so,
Baby Driver,
is so
but now Blank Check
Maybe
for Cody.
Blank Check. We'll see what
I'm going with Ocean's 11. Sarah's going with Widows and then The Town.
I really liked Baby Driver.
That was great. I mean, obviously the soundtrack and stuff was fantastic on it too. But
it is a good movie. You can't really root for Kevin Spacey anymore, though.
No. I know. That's problematic.
I'm still upset about that whole thing for obvious reasons, but also he ruined House of Cards. Ruined it. Ruined the show.
Never watched it.
I just didn't even watch the final season.
Ruined the shows. House of Cards was one of my favorite shows, and he just ruined it.
Go vote. 610 Sports KC on Twitter.
You'll have till Friday, and we'll find out around 1:30 on Friday what we're watching for the weekend. We want to get to a little pop culture corner. We're already doing some pop culture, but we just keep the corner going. It's Serta's pop culture corner.
Pop culture corner.
I feel like it was like a video, as you said, we haven't changed it. It's just like video game. I just kind of popped up in the air like it was a video game. I don't know if we were playing Mario or something. You know, feel like I need to have like an arcade over in the corner.
There's actually a ton of stuff that has happened today in the world of pop culture. But this was from this morning. Jude Law's in talks to play Captain Hook in Disney's live-action Peter Pan film. Yes, they're making another one.
That feels like a weird casting. And yeah, why do they keep making Peter Pan movies?
They make them. I guess they make money still. I haven't seen the last couple, but they make Peter Pan movies like every 5 years. But they also confirmed that Tron 3 is in development with Jared Leto.
That sounds weird.
I'm not a big Tron fan. People really love Tron.
Yeah,
there's a
fine.
Whole Tron subculture.
I'm good with another live-action Peter Pan. I have not seen Tron before. So
I have. They're fine.
A third one must be doing well if they're making a third one.
Man, but there's like there was like 25 years in between the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
And it's been like 10-plus years since the second one.
But Jeff Daniels? Who was in that one? No, not him.
He's in both of them.
Oh, we've already.
He was the star of the first one. He's like a
bit part.
He has a big part in the second one. There's also been confirmation that Invisible Man director Lee Whannell, I don't know if you guys saw Invisible Man, it's fantastic. He's in talks to direct Universal's Wolfman starring Ryan Gosling. If he directs that movie, it's going to be awesome.
Here's the thing. We were talking all about these movies. You know what's really frustrating? We have no idea when we're going to actually be able to see these truly ever.
Yeah, but if he's in production, I mean, we're talking a couple years down the road.
But is everything going to just be pushed back big time? Like, people are going to want to have certain release dates around certain times of the year and also not compete with one movie over the other, for example. And so right now, everything, the calendar's been pushed back so far on these. It's hard. It's who knows when we're going to see some of these.
I didn't see whenever the last Wolfman movie was made, so I guess I don't know what to anticipate for that, but okay.
And was there a recent one made?
I don't know.
The only one I can think of is...
There's a Wolfman in Monster Squad from the 90s.
People say Jeff Bridges, not Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Bridges, sorry.
There's a werewolf in Paris, I think.
Okay.
I think that was from the 90s.
Gosling's a good actor, so count me in, I guess.
By the way, issues on our poll already. People saying Blank Check is not a heist movie. The money was technically not stolen.
Don't care.
Yeah, American Werewolf in Paris from 1997. It's got a 7% on Rotten. I've seen that movie a bunch of times.
Why?
I used to like it in the 90s.
All right, that's our Pop Culture Corner. Coming up in 90 seconds, Serta has another fantasy flash looking at a former Chiefs running back and what his impact will be this upcoming season. Plus, we get to what's trending, and why do people keep saying the Chiefs won't be able to do this?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one is news out of Arrowhead that with the expectation of reduced capacity there for games in 2020, the Chiefs announcing a single game ticket sales plan, so no 2020 season tickets. If you are a season ticket member, that will be credited going forward. You can also call and get a refund if you would like that. So a lot of these teams have been making plans for a while. And
Ravens
we've seen
said
them
today they're going to have less than 12,000.
Yeah, and the Chiefs aren't saying no fans. That's not what they're saying at all. They're just saying we know we're not going to have enough to accommodate our season ticket holders, and this is kind of the best way for us to do this is to just offer single game tickets this year and we're going to do it when we have a better understanding of what the capacity limitations are going to be if we can have fans going for it. Of course, it's a bummer for if you're a season ticket holder. There's been a lot of things that have been disappointing that have gone on here. And, you know, I was texting with someone earlier that has season tickets as well. And it's like, oh, I guess not going to Arrowhead this year. It's not what it's saying. That's not what they're saying. It's just you're going to have to go through the normal single game ticket process. I think season ticket holders will still get priority on those to have the right to purchase it.
You can still apply part of what you've paid for your season tickets in order to buy single game tickets as well. It's not a great situation, but it's telling you they're still planning on trying to have some fans, but they're already letting you know it's going to be a lot less than normal.
And even though the plans might be similar at stadiums, still the capacity limits, if there's fans at all, could be different. We know down in Dallas versus Kansas City versus Chicago or Denver, one stadium might have 15,000, one might only have 10, one might have 40. Who knows?
Yeah, it's going to vary wildly across the league. Number two for what's trending, FIFA is taking a closer look at KC as they try to make their decision on the 2026 World Cup. You would think KC would be in the running. Minneapolis, Denver, there's a few other cities that are certainly going to be competition for them in that Midwest area. No real indication which way they are leaning, where they'll go now. Kathy Nelson over at the Kansas City Sports Commission feeling good about Kansas City's odds. But again, it's mostly just the how close of a look, what's going to make it look like this. And as far as I'm concerned, in every World Cup game, they show Kansas City. There's a reason why they show Kansas City. Also, by the way, do you realize, just as a reminder, MLS starts back tonight. Sporting Kansas City doesn't play tonight. But the MLS is back tonight, so you got a lot of soccer coming your way.
Can watch some soccer. It's been disappointing that there's been FC Dallas kicked out of the whole tournament because they had a major outbreak within their own team, and we know some games have been pushed back in that regard. But yeah, FIFA taking a closer look at KC 2026. That is a world stage to put Kansas City on, and certainly there's a ton of competition for the opportunity to do this. But as you said, any major soccer event over the last 15 years, I guess it is now, they show power and light in Kansas City. They do that live shot. They see the passion. Sporting KC, the passion. They have one of the best environments,
really good facilities.
One of the best environments in soccer. Why is that? Because they have some of the best fans in soccer, if not the best fans in soccer. So hopefully that leads to them getting to host some of the games in 2026. Next up, in what's trending, Now three in all Royals players have tested positive for COVID-19. The latest, Brad Keller and Ryan O'Hearn. They announced that yesterday. That joins Salvador Perez on that. Salvy's a little bit ahead of the curve there in terms of the quarantine process. It's going to be a little while, and it's troubling from a baseball perspective. If you're a pitcher like Brad Keller, you're trying to get stretched out for the start of the season. We know opening day is on July the 24th when the Royals will head to Cleveland to take on the Indians. But the good news out of this, all three players that tested positive are doing okay. Minor symptoms for Brad Keller. He said it reminds him just like a minor allergy attack. But on the baseball front, this is every team is dealing with this. Fortunately, the Royals have had luck getting testing, though, results back quickly, right? We know the Astros and the A's and what the Nationals have had issues with that. At least the Royals have been able to get testing quicker. And tonight they'll be at an intra-squad game opened up to the media. And so we'll see what comes out of that today.
I mean, we'll find out. Obviously, a lot of those players are not going to be available while they go through that process. And as a reminder, you don't even get to find out about whether or not someone's tested positive unless they've given the right to do so, which is not.
Which all three Royals players have, and that deals with HIPAA.
Yeah, well, understandable. If they don't want that information out there, why would they necessarily be having those conversations, at least on that end? The Ryder Cup has announced that they'll postpone until the 2021 season, wiping out their 2020 calendar year. Not surprising from them on that end, as we've continued to see these things, you know, cancel away. The Ryder Cup was set to take place in late September. We know that some other PGA events are scheduled for around that time as well. I think that's part of what the Ryder Cup's issue is. It's not only is it worth the kind of travel required to get these players in there, but is it worth doing in a truncated timeline that would have already been fighting? They were scheduled the 22nd through 27th at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin, but they've gone ahead and pushed back to Whistling Straits in Wisconsin in 2021. Similar timeline for there as well. Likewise, the President's Cup will be moved back as well. So not surprising from the Ryder Cup end, but when you get these big international competitions that happen once a year, we're seeing a lot of them push back a year.
It all started going back with on the biggest possible international competition with the Olympics. I mean, remember that was one of the first big events that got pushed back a year. We'll still see next summer what happens, and they can't make it happen next summer. Remember, they're just going to scrap the whole thing. But Ryder Cup, not surprising to see that. It was always tough to move events, but a fairly easy decision overall that they had to make. Next up on What's Trending, the WNBA and NBA both in their bubbles now as they get set to resume play. It's been a little shaky before we even get into
hasn't
the testing.
Perfect.
The WNBA, they're in Bradenton, Florida at the IMG Academy. There was video going viral that the players are dealing with bed bugs at their facilities. And there was a video from the laundry room at the hotel, wherever they're at, that had a mouse trap in it. It is not ideal accommodations, to say the least.
At least they're trying to get rid of the mouse.
I mean, I would be like, we got to go somewhere else. Yeah, we're out. I'm out. Opting out now. More for the bed bugs than the mouse.
I guess.
The bed bugs.
And then the food stuff of the NBA, which they said they'll get resolved. These like incoming photos of like what bubble life is going to be like is not exactly making me envious yet. I still think the NBA bubble, once they get them like on intake and all squared away, it might look a little bit different.
But we're also dealing
pretty
with
depressing. The WNBA looks really bad.
Terrible. And we're dealing with, and most of the millionaires on the NBA side for sure.
Yeah.
Like millionaires that are used to these extravagant hotels and all this. Now their accommodations haven't been bad, but still, even food wise, they're used to having nice meals. And right now they're having like airplane food.
I think after a few
food.
Days, their personal chefs might still be there, so they might be okay. But yeah, it's
personal chefs.
Woe is me for their Hudson News style lunch. I've eaten that meal that I saw him tweet out plenty of times. I just feel like it's funny when you're talking about multi-million-dollar athletes. Some of them might not like that much. Donovan Mitchell was tweeting about it last night.
I've done media coverage at an NBA game before, and their media food is usually the best media food by far. But you can't have buffet-style setups.
That's right. Yeah, it's got to be box lunches or whatever, which is why the photos.
I don't know, man. One time I covered a game in New York, and the Giants had a make-your-own omelet bar. Oh!
Well, yeah, of course they're great.
And I was hungover. Oh, what a delight.
Yeah, of course they're great, but you can't have them anymore. Yeah, some of the media food, man. Ooh.
No media food at the Royals this year. Lastly, for What's Trending, Brett McMurphy says Ivy League will announce a move to spring football sometime here soon. That would put them as the first league, as in FBS league, to move over there. They'll just play a schedule where they play every other Ivy League team. 7 games against every other opponent. Declare a champion based on that. They don't operate in the BCS part of that programming very often anyway, unless they've got, you know, they get some BCS scheduled games, but they're just going to play each other, move on, and let the rest of the team solve it. Brett McMurphy doesn't seem to think, however, that the Ivy's decision to move into spring will impact what the FBS, the rest of the FBS, decides here soon.
We know that the Ivy League for basketball, they were the first conference to cancel their conference tournament. And at the time, you're like, whoa. And then it turns out they were ahead of the curve on that one. Everybody else ended up doing the same. Yeah, it sounds like they don't believe this is the same thing here. And yeah, it's not the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12 deciding to do it and everybody else is going to fall in line. But on the high school level, right, does this, you know, that's been discussed in Texas and other states. If the Ivy League's doing it, could we see high school football move from the fall to the spring? That was something we had Greg Jones from Liberty North High School join us earlier in the week, and he was saying he's open to that happening if that needs to be the case, and that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. So with the $500 million deal handed out to Patrick Mahomes, and you're looking at the roster, and naturally everybody has said, okay, well, how do you still build a winner around Mahomes with your roster if you are taking up X percent? No quarterbacks win the Super Bowl if they're taking up this percentage. And this is something I'm sure you've been asked a ton, Cody. I know an interview that I did yesterday, that they were asking about it as well. Like, okay, how can they take care of other guys going forward? We know, based off of what Patrick Mahomes and Brett Veach and Andy Reid said at the press conference yesterday, that was a major focus for Mahomes. It's like money wasn't just the only motivator there. Yes, job, you know, financial security for generations to come, but that they wanted to make sure, and he specifically wanted to make sure that it's a legacy type of deal that they can still build a roster around him. And people will look at what so-and-so has made and how much success they have had in the past. You just can't compare that, first of all, with Mahomes, because, yeah, it's problematic if Ryan Tannehill or Jared Goff or whoever else that gets mega deals are taking up, let's say, 15, 18% or more of your cap. Yeah, that's problematic because they're Jared Goff or they're Ryan Tannehill or whoever it may be. So that argument is a pretty quick shutdown to me. You just, okay, it's Mahomes. It's just not the same thing. But what when you look at it, though, offensively, some people have said, well, why will they be able to actually go out and buy solutions to fix the offense going forward? Now, you said fix the offense. When do you fix the offense?
Down the road. Not now.
But even 3 years from now, that's still not a problem. I think it's a 4 years down the road type of potential problem that you have to address. And a lot of it goes back to what we've said. You're going to have a full arsenal of draft picks, though. Now, like that's something. What's crazy is Brett Veach has not had a full arsenal of draft picks to utilize.
Correct.
He's going to have that. Might pick up a couple comp picks. Who knows? Also, what happens a week from now is the franchise tag deadline for Chris Jones. Who knows what happens before the draft next year and how all that plays out? You're going to have to build through the draft. Clearly, they're going to have to do that. But they've been able
to. Every year. That's every team. We make it sound like just because you sign a quarterback, that's different than any other situation. How do they get where they were? Because they drafted Travis Kelce, drafted Tyreek Hill in the fifth round. Let's say drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, depending on where that goes. Drafted Eric Fisher. Drafted LDT.
Yeah, the two exceptions on offense, and it wasn't a big deal.
Sammy Watkins and Mitchell Schwartz.
Yeah, and the bigger deal, of course, was Watkins, right? That's been talked about plenty over the last couple of years and what that deal was. That's the one. And do I think they're gonna be able to spend that kind of money on a wide receiver going forward? That's not an in-house guy, right? And that's not Tyreek Hill, let's say, on a new deal in the future. No, I don't think we're gonna see over the next 5 years Kansas City going out and signing a mega deal for a wide receiver. No, I don't see it. By the way, I don't think they need to do that. They don't.
No, and it's, you know, a lot of this is based in this. There's two things. One, mentioning Sammy Watkins makes no sense because all people do is complain about the production level they get out of him. So saying they won't be able to afford the Sammy Watkins of the world, I'm like, cool, they can't afford a 600-yard wide receiver who gets 3 touchdowns a year? Don't care. It's neat. They'll find somebody else.
I think the thought
is
you can't afford to miss on those deals as much. You know, maybe. Look, that's probably how you have to look at it.
That's probably fair because they've been sitting on Anthony Hitchens' contract that hasn't worked out, and it hasn't devastated their economy. They were still able to go get Frank Clark, still get Tyrann Mathieu. Yes, you are less available to make mistakes, but I think in my mind, you're also more available to get cheap short-term solutions. Like guys who are on 1 year that want to come, the Terrell Suggs of the world, whoever you want to look at, Kansas City is going to be the place they choose at league minimum. I think a lot of this conversation comes around because people have that percentage of the cap number stuck in their head. Mm-hmm. No quarterback has ever won the Super Bowl who's taken up more than, what is it, 12.5%, 13%?
Yeah, people reference the Steve Young, since the last one was Steve Young that took up a certain percentage. Yeah.
The actual sample size in which quarterbacks have made the percentage of cap number they have is like 10 or 15 years. So you're not, even if I gave you every year and I said it's 50 years worth of sampling, that is a really small sample size. It's not that, by the way. That's not a fair way to look at it because that's not the way quarterbacks have been paid. It's a 15-year problem. And yeah, in the last 15 years, no one making above 13% has won a Super Bowl. But let me just give you the teams who are going to have somebody who makes more than that this year. And you tell me versus the rest of the teams how more likely they are to win the Super Bowl. Colts. Now look, just take the Chiefs out of it. That's a team that's going to be a playoff contender.
I think they're winning their division, yeah.
These are by top percentage. Cowboys. Expected to be a playoff team. Raiders, they got problems. Now, they gave Carr too much money, but this has nothing to do with percentage of cap. Carr too much money, and then they followed it up by giving Mariota too much money. I don't feel bad for them.
Again, they don't have their quarterback. That's why it's different. No. They haven't found
their... Next on the list, Seattle, contender.
They got there.
Saints, real contender. Rams, okay, they got problems. That team was in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Then they paid their quarterback. So can they get back while they're paying them that number? I need time. 49ers, just did it, 14%. They were just in the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We'll see.
Supposed to be. Steelers. Sort of keeps telling me they got the best defense in the NFL. I don't know if you say that. I might have taken it too far.
I think the Ravens are the best defense in the NFL. The Steelers are top five.
Okay.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Like, I probably went too far there. I don't want to.
Even in a weird
far,
one.
The Redskins. All right, fine. They got, because of the way the Alex Smith deal worked out, and they got multiple money tied up in all these quarterbacks. That's just for this year. Obviously, the Chiefs are lower on this list because Patrick Mahomes' number didn't go way up. But all the teams in the middle that are below that threshold, how do these teams have an even better chance? The Packers are the one that is below that threshold where you're like, okay, at 12 points. They're at the back end of the Aaron Rodgers contract. That's what's going to happen to the Mahomes contract year 5, 6, 7, 2. It's going to be 12, 13, 14%. Because it's just below that. And eventually someone's going to move the guidelines. Someone's going to win it with 13.5%. They'll be like, no quarterback has ever won the Super Bowl who doesn't have more than 13.5%. Because all the teams below, Lions, Titans, Falcons, Vikings, Eagles, Dolphins. Yeah, some of these teams have a chance, like the Eagles, because Carson Wentz is still in a cheaper deal. But again, because they're several years into that deal. The only teams at the bottom of the list that actually have a chance to do it are the ones with quarterbacks on rookie deals who have proven they're really good, like the Ravens. Paying your quarterback what you paid, it's a misnomer. And it's going to get shattered. Like, this year, the Chiefs are going to go back and win, and Patrick Mahomes is going to take up not that amount, so it's not going to say anything. But eventually, what's going to happen is, like, the quarterback who's taking up 15% of the cap is going to win it 5 out of 6 years, and we can just put this to bed. But I'm telling you, I think it means nothing. I think that stat means nothing. Which means this whole they can't afford Patrick Mahomes and to surround him with talent, to me, is a lie. I just think they can afford one less star player to go with him. I think more often than not, that's going to come on defense.
The only thing that can change it is, you brought up, you know, when you get to the back end of the contract. And it is. It's a 10-year extension. It's 12 years in all. There's a very good chance that by the time you get to year 7, though, Cody, assuming Mahomes is doing what we expect him to do and what we've already seen him do, that they probably come back to the table and there's a reworked deal. Now, does that change? Who knows where the cap number's at? Who knows financially where the NFL is at? We expect it'll be just fine. And
the projections still say it's going to be at $300 million.
So it's going to be massive, but there will be a new number. So,
yes.
I would be pretty stunned if this exact contract is where he's still on it 9 years from now, for example.
Patrick Mahomes might win 3 Super Bowls and never be more than 13% of the cap. And that won't matter. That's not even the figure that matters. Like, people get hung up on that. That's not, you know, in a 1 year sample size, somebody costing you that percentage of the cap, it's more just about most teams require a really good team around you, which requires several good years of drafting consecutively to do it, unless you have one of the three guys who can win with most teams, no matter the surrounding, or the one guy who can take you and I out there and make us look good.
Right. I mean, the one question will be, the obstacle is more on the Kelce route, because everybody else, like Tyreek Hill is, 26 years old, and he's still got, 2 years left on his contract, I believe it is. And, you know, Kelce's 30, and we know, depending on what happens with George Kittle over in San Francisco, is going to dictate potentially what that number would need to be for Kelce. They've got to take care of him. He's the biggest question. As far as, you know, if you're wondering what's the next money that has to be doled out, it's Kelce, unless, depending on what happens here in 7 days, 7 days now from the franchise tag deadline. I'm not expecting something. But
also when Matthew's contract's up, so they could ask Kelce to come back. Matthew could walk, and then they'd be having one.
Right, which gets into the drafting.
It's one less player. I don't know where it's going to come from yet. It could be like they don't extend another contract to Hill, which I don't think is going to be the case.
Of course they're not going to be.
Or Mecole Hardman or Kelsey. Like, they get to make a choice, but it's only one less player. I know the money doesn't add up that way, but in my mind, that's what it is.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're not going to be screwed. It's just things are going to be
tight.
A lot tighter, yeah. And the margin of error with your draft picks is going to be a lot less that you can have.
Or you're going to have to use those draft picks to trade away for players with reasonable contracts.
And that's, I mean, look what... You know, Mike Pinnell mid-season. They found a diamond in the rough in Mike Pinnell last year.
But even like a guy like a Stephon Diggs trade might be the kind of deal they have to execute eventually.
Yeah, I mean, Diggs got a brand new deal, didn't he, right before he got traded?
Yes, but he only gets paid $10 to $12 million a year. That's cheap.
Yeah, I wonder if he has a big year, though.
He's got a lot of years left on that deal.
Two years into it, does he want to restructure at that point? Wouldn't be the first time we see that. Especially if he's the answer for Josh Allen.
I would say if he's in Buffalo, he might. I would tell you if he's getting Patrick Mahomes to throw to him every day, he's good.
Okay.
You
saw that hilarious article about don't expect Josh Allen to get Mahomes type deal.
That's the difference.
All right, let's get to the final word.
The final word.
I just, you know, like again, to further that conversation, there's just no reason to keep going through that argument. I don't want to say the text line is all bad, but just as a reminder for a little decorum for the rest of you, it's been very good. We had a good time talking about heist movies. We've enjoyed different conversations about what the Chiefs are going to do cap-wise, all great. But I will block you from there if you start saying anti-Semitic things to my co-host. So just know that I'll just eliminate you from the show and we'll just have to live our lives that way. Because you took offense to something Steven Jackson said, which was racist.
I blocked that person already.
Good!
I didn't block him. I wasn't. He thought we were, and I'm not going to block you.
You didn't want to give him the satisfaction.
I'm not gonna, fine. No need.
But he deserved it. All I'm asking for is a little decorum on this show.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I'm not surprised, unfortunately, to see that Yeah, of course. On the show, we're going
to
talk about when someone
certain I got you
when it ties into sports, and you're talking about someone spreading flat out lies and anti-Semitic propaganda. Basically, we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to voice my opinion on that. All right, we're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2. Hope everybody has a good rest of the day. For now, we hand it off to the guys on the drive.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.